This podcast is brought to you from St. Joseph's Episcopal Church in Boynton Beach, Florida, USA. Please save it and share it with others, and visit sjecs.com for more.
When it was evening of the day of the resurrection, the first day of the week, and the doors of the house where the disciples had met were locked for fear of the Jews, Jesus came and stood among them and said, "Peace be with you." After he had said this, he showed them his hands and his side. Then the disciples rejoiced when they saw the Lord. Jesus said to them again, "Peace be with you. As the Father has sent me, so I send you." When he had said this, he breathed on them and said to them, "Receive the Holy Spirit. If you forgive the sins of any, they are forgiven them. If you retain the sins of any, they are retained." But Thomas, who was called the twin, one of the 12, was not with them when Jesus came. So the other disciples told him, "We have seen the Lord." But he said to them, "Unless I see the mark of the nails in his hands, and put my finger in the mark of the nails and my hand in his side, I will not believe." A week later, his disciples were again in the house, and Thomas was with them. Although the doors were shut, Jesus came and stood among them and said, "Peace be with you." Then he said to Thomas, "Put your finger here and see my hands. Reach out your hand and put it in my side. Do not doubt, but believe." Thomas answered him, "My Lord and my God." Jesus said to him, "Have you believed because you have seen me? Blessed are those who have not seen and yet have come to believe." Now Jesus did many other signs in the presence of his disciples, which are not written in this book. But these are written, so that you may come to believe that Jesus is the Messiah, the Son of God, and that through believing, you may have life in his name. The Gospel of the Lord.
Praise to you, Lord Christ.
Let us pray. Lord Jesus, we gather to celebrate your great victory over sin and death that was worked in your resurrection triumph. Preserve us from thinking of your victory as a past event rather than a present reality. Help us to keep seeing signs of your resurrected presence in our world and in our lives. Cultivate in us a vivid sense of your vitality among us. Preserve us from the despair that lives as if the resurrection was only something that happened to you and not to us. We pray to you in the confidence that the first thing you did upon your resurrection from the dead was try to talk to and reveal yourself to to us. Amen. Good morning.
Good morning.
There is a lot of times when a lot of people give a lot of emphasis to their heritage, to their bloodline. You often hear talk of people proudly proclaiming that they can trace their ancestry back to the Revolutionary War here in the United States. Or there are others who will trace it back. They can say their descendants were on the Mayflower as it came across to what became this country. There's a whole religion, the Mormons, that have a great importance attached to tracing their family tree to their heritage. There was a book that was made into a movie that was very popular about a year ago called The Da Vinci Code. Now, the book and the movie was a novel. We don't have to be afraid of it. It's a novel. It's not intended to be a true story. But the outrage and the controversy that emerged from that book and movie had a lot to do with bloodline, with heritage. Because the story states, as a novel, that Jesus and Mary Magdalene had a child, and that child's lineage continues to this very day, meaning that there are direct ancestors of Jesus, people with the bloodline of Jesus walking the earth today. And that scares people to death to think that. Well, if we look at the gospel today, we know about the bloodline and the heritage. Because the resurrection of Jesus gives us Jesus' bloodline, gives us that inheritance that is all of ours to grab. The psalm that we read this morning, "My boundaries enclose a pleasant land. Indeed, I have a goodly heritage." Peter told us in the second reading, "By his great mercy, he has given us a new birth into a living hope through the resurrection of Jesus Christ from the dead, and into an inheritance that is imperishable, undefiled, and unfading." The bloodline of Jesus is ours. And yet, we get to a point where it's hard for us to see and believe that. If we look through all of the events surrounding Jesus' passion, death, and resurrection, we continue to see people who can't see with those eyes of what Jesus means and is, and consequently what our life means and is. If we step back when the story started to unfold, a woman came and anointed Jesus with oil, precious perfume, because she could really see and understand who he was. All the disciples could see is that she was wasting a bunch of expensive perfume. Later on, Peter is standing by the fire warming himself. Jesus has been arrested. A woman comes up and says, "You're one of them. You were with the Galilean." And Peter denies it, denies even knowing Jesus. And then a cock crows. And at that moment, Peter truly sees and understands. Even Pilate, when he's got Jesus on trial, a message comes from Pilate's wife saying, "I had a dream about this man. Don't touch him, he's special." Pilate even shows Jesus to the people. "See the man, behold the man." Yet unfortunately, Pilate couldn't see. The people couldn't see either. And then we come even to the resurrection story. Mary is there at the empty tomb. She can't see. She thinks it's the gardener. And then Jesus speaks to her and she truly sees and understands. Later that same day, there are these disciples dejected, despondent on the road to Emmaus. And Jesus comes and they don't see him. They don't recognize him. He opens the scriptures to them to help them to understand. And then they go inside the house. And in the breaking of the bread, they see and they recognize. They see with the new eyes. They recognize who he truly is and who they are now able to be, to grab their inheritance. We come to the gospel today. Same thing. The disciples, on the day they should be going back to work, the first day of the week, they're locked upstairs in a room in fear. And Jesus comes. After all that had happened, you'd think Jesus would come with a finger wagging. You think he'd be slapping them upside the head. You think he'd be doing something after all they did and didn't do for and to him. And he comes and he says one word, peace. He ends up saying it three times. Perhaps they can't get it through their skulls. Perhaps they can't believe and see at first. But he wants them to understand. Wants them to see that things have changed, that now he has risen, and that they are called to be risen too. Likewise, Thomas. Thomas wasn't there when he first came. Jesus comes back. Thomas is having a difficult time seeing, believing. Jesus helps him to come to the new level of appreciation. All of these people who were there when the physical risen Christ was in their midst, had a hard time seeing, had a hard time believing. I think the practical understanding for our spiritual lives from all of this is the fact that if they had difficulty at times believing and following, and they had doubts, and they were with the physical risen Christ, why should we be surprised 2,000 years later when at times we have a difficulty with our faith? Think about that. They had him there and they had a hard time. Why should we expect it to be different for us? So we should not fear those difficult times. We should be able to use that as the opportunity to reaffirm our faith even stronger than it was before. Doubt is not the opposite of faith. At times, doubt is the necessary prerequisite for faith. It was for all of these disciples. It was for all the other characters that I mentioned from the gospel story. So too it is for us. We just finished an incredible historic Easter at St. Joseph's. We had over 800 people here last week, the biggest Easter in the history of this church. Those of you that were at the 10:15 service, many of you perhaps witnessed that we turned people away because there was a traffic jam out on Seacrest. They got tired of waiting to get in, and they did a U-turn, and they left. What an incredible thing God is doing here. What an incredible service and the beauty of everything that we experienced last week. Many of you have told me it was for you a real experience of the risen Christ. Well, whether it was last week that you had that moment of light, or whether it was some other time, for some reason you have had that experience of Christ that has brought you to see and to believe. The important thing for us is to hang on to that. That in those moments where we find ourselves temporarily in the dark, whether it's because of a difficulty we have in a relationship or financial in our family or physical or mental or emotional or spiritual health, we need to remember that moment of the light when God came and said, "I will never desert you. I have counted every hair on your head. I am with you, And this resurrection is not only for Jesus, but for us as well. Don't fear the dark. We are children of the light. I would like to share with you today a quote that I think puts this all into incredible perspective. The person writes this: "In my soul, I feel just that terrible pain of loss, of God not wanting me, of God not being God, of God not even existing. I find no words to express the depths of the darkness. The silence and the emptiness is so great that I look and do not see, listen and do not hear. My tongue moves in prayer but does not speak. I want you to pray for me that I let God have a free hand. If I ever become a saint, I will surely be a saint of darkness." Those words were written by Mother Teresa of Calcutta 2 weeks before she received the Nobel Peace Prize. She is, without a doubt, the one we would consider to be the most saintly person of our generation. She, too, had doubts. She, too, had difficulties in her faith. But that did not lead to despair. That did not lead her to give up. It became the occasion for her to reaffirm her faith, to hang in there, to understand that the bloodline of Jesus was hers, as it is ours, to claim that inheritance that is ours as well. May we continue to do so in the risen Christ, who gives us light and life. Amen.